All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. Or in this case, what the hell is happening in this movie? We are talking about jujitsu today. Joining me is Sean Malloy from I Must Break This Podcast. You've heard him here on the show a few times in the past, and I've been over on his show a couple times. So very much looking forward to trying to figure out what's going on with this crazy, ridiculous movie that I was very much looking forward to as a fan of Nicolas Cage, especially weird, ridiculous Nicolas Cage. But unfortunately, this movie did not quite deliver in any department whatsoever. But we'll get into that as we get into the conversation. Before we do get to that, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. And of course, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. And you could also join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And also check out our Patreon, where we've got a whole bunch of advanced episodes of this show, as well as bonus content from Awesome Movie Year, the other movie podcast I produced, and stuff from my music career. So lots of great content over on the Produced by David Rosen Patreon. So December is a crazy month. We are just filling in as many episodes as we can leading up to the end of the year. We'll of course have a top 10 list episode coming up as well, and a couple other special things coming up too. So lots of podcasts coming your way. Thank you to everyone who has been checking out the show and leaving feedback and all that stuff. We definitely appreciate it. So yeah, let's get into this conversation about jujitsu. All right, so back on the show. It's been a while, but Sean Malloy is with us. Sean, how's it going, man?
It's going well. It's going well. I think the last time I was on, I was on for Bloodshot, which was the last movie release for the pandemic or whatever. I think that's what we talked about. And I'm just going to say it right now. I enjoyed Bloodshot a lot more than this movie here. So
I'll say it right here. I don't even know why we're doing this one, but I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking about it though, because this movie Jiu-Jitsu is just a mess. I don't know. Leading into this, obviously we know that neither of us really like this movie, but did you have high hopes for it based on like the trailer, the concept, the people involved? Was this something you went into open heart, open mind to this thing?
Yeah, actually, most definitely, yeah. It's funny, and I'm actually going to piss off a lot of the various Facebook groups that I follow, and, you know, because, I mean, a lot of people seem to have really liked this movie. I mean, this movie really gets divided, where people either really loved it, or they kind of like were me, and they did not. And I know this sounds kind of bizarre, me being the big action fan that I am, right, to have been so disenfranchised with this. But, yeah, what's interesting about this one is, yeah, there was a lot of hype. I mean, I guess... in certain circles, I guess. Okay. You know, the action fan circles, or the ones who follow martial arts cinema. Yeah, there was a lot of excitement for this. And the excitement actually goes all the way back to in pre-production when it was announced. It was, it was pretty interesting. I mean, first of all, you have the title Jiu-Jitsu, you know, that, right. I mean, that's it. The movie is just titled Jiu-Jitsu, named after a martial arts fighting style. And then when you heard the cast, okay. I mean, cause it had a pretty promising cast. Had Frank Grillo, who, you know, Frank Grillo has become a name in his own right. Tony Jaa, amazing martial artist. Alan Moussi, who he's a good martial artist, but I think that's about it. He's kind of bland, you know. And then Nicolas Cage, which I have a lot of things to say about Nicolas Cage. So when you heard about the cast, and then in a movie called Jiu-Jitsu, it was like, okay, this could be fun. And then what's interesting, I don't know if it was in your neck of the woods, but this actually got a one-night theater release a few weeks back, actually, and then it was put on VOD. But it did get a one-night theatrical release because...
So I think, is eligible for Oscars, then?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and so, and I think they did that because they realized there was a market. While it is a small market, and I'll admit, I'm a member of that market, they did put it in theaters for that one night because they figured, okay, we can get some ticket sales for it. And I will say right now, actually, I was a little bummed because at first, actually, because I was like, oh, man, this is playing in theaters. And then the whole theater shutdown happened. And I was thinking to myself, man, I would like to be able to tell people that my last movie I saw in theaters before they all close up for good was Jiu-Jitsu. And then I watched it at home on VOD and I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I don't think I really want to tell people that, actually.
I did all right for myself. Yeah, no, I knew you would be excited for this coming from the action movie point of view. And I was excited for it coming from the crazy batshit Nicolas Cage performance point of view. Yeah. And it didn't deliver on that either. We'll get into it as we start getting into some puzzle pieces and stuff like that. But this movie just really is a lot of promise with not a lot of delivery. And it's especially disappointing because it really did have a great trailer. I mean, we all kind of went nuts over the trailer, I think, like especially like Nicolas Cage fans went kind of nuts over that trailer when it first came out. And so this was one that was definitely something I was looking forward to, even though I knew it kind of had, you know, some of the trappings of, you know, the direct-to-video action movies that aren't necessarily my favorite thing in the world. But I just thought it would be a little more fun than it ended up being.
To be honest, David, I don't know what in the hell this movie was. I really, I was, you know, completely maybe not so much confused, but I mean, so there were two things about this film that really sold me on it when I first heard about its announcement. I think I already mentioned the cast. Now, when you look at the cast, sure. It was very apparent that I think what happened was they had the idea, Jiu-Jitsu. Okay, they had this idea and they had this title for a film. And then it seems like they almost just kind of went to various agencies and they said, hey, who is available? What actors are available in the action genre that we can cast? Frank Grillo, he's available for 2 weeks. Awesome, let's nab him. I don't know what role he'll play, but let's get Frank Grillo. Tony Jaa, are you kidding me? He's amazing. He's available for a week. Let's get him as well. And then they were kind of like, Nicolas Cage. Ooh, well, Nicolas Cage, he pretty much does weird stuff nowadays. Let's throw him in there as well. And so they had all these, you know, actors of the genre in various roles. And like, I'll admit, I got a little excited. I will admit right now regarding Nicolas Cage. I mean, that right there, can we just say Nicolas Cage, that could be a podcast and a discussion in itself. I think his career, especially of the last 15, 20 years, is fascinating. And I was actually really glad that you invited me on for this because regarding Nicolas Cage, I wanted to, you know, it's interesting because I almost feel kind of bad for Nicolas Cage nowadays because I feel like he is being treated with a lot of the roles that he is getting nowadays. He's almost being treated as this sideshow attraction because there was a time, I mean, long ago, but there was a time where he was in really respectable pictures, really respectable mainstream theatrical releases. You know what I mean? He's an Oscar winner, for God's sakes. So, I mean, there was a period where he was in Leaving Las Vegas and Guarding Tess and The Family Man, these movies that were all mainstream. And then...
And my favorite movie, Adaptation. My number one favorite movie.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there you go. I mean, and the guy has acting chops. And I'm trying to pinpoint about when it was, but it seems like... It hit a certain point where suddenly all he was getting was these maybe not bizarre roles, but these movies where, like I said, he's being treated as a sideshow attraction, almost where producers are saying, hey, Nick Cage, bring out the monkey. Like, we need you to bring out the monkey now, you know? I mean, and even that clip that I texted you the other day, he did this, you know, lame, low budget direct to video movie called A Score to Settle, which is not an action movie. It's more of a drama movie, but there is a scene near the end where he's going off where he's saying beef, beef. And the way he is playing it is so ridiculous. So, you know, just bizarre watching it that any kind of dramatic tension that was in that movie that was, I'm assuming intended, is completely thrown out the window. And so I can't help but wonder if when he's getting signed on for these projects, they're just, like I said, they're saying, hey, Cage, we need you to plot the monkey. We need you to do that funky cage dance that you do. That's what's selling. Because, I mean, if you look at the stuff that he's done within the past few years, he did Mom and Dad. He did Mandy. Mm. And a lot of people seem to really enjoy those movies. I was kind of mixed on them. His next one coming up is called Wally's Wonderland, where he is, I don't know if you've heard about this one, but he takes on a bunch of like Chuck E. Cheese, Five Nights at Freddy's, like animatronic animals. Like, it's like, he is so far removed from the days when he was this Oscar winning, you know, person. And you see him in this movie where he's wielding a sword and putting on paper hats. And it's like, what happened?
I have to hope that he's just having fun and he just doesn't really care that much about like the weightiness and seriousness of these roles. And it's just, I like to put on outfits and play make-believe or something. And it's just fun for him. Because otherwise I don't understand why he would choose these roles. It seems like he should be able to get something else. But I did love Mandy, and I know a lot of people liked Mom and Dad. I didn't really like that one as much. I'm still going to stay hopeful for Wally's Wonder World, even though I kind of had the same feeling about that as I had with Jiu-Jitsu, that like, this is either going to be, you know, amazing or it's going to be just an absolute disaster. And so all signs point to that being a disaster, but I guess we'll find out next year. But I'd say let's start getting into some puzzle pieces here with Jiu-Jitsu, because there is definitely a lot to get into with this movie as far as, you know, what the hell is happening in this movie. So we'll do that throughout the puzzle pieces, though. So why don't we get into your first piece? What do you got for your first piece here?
The Mortal Kombat live show. Now, notice how I did not say Mortal Kombat the video game. I didn't say Mortal Kombat the movie. Mortal Kombat the live show. So back in, I don't know if you remember this or if you have any knowledge of it, but back in 1996, that was the height of Mortal Kombat Mania. And so what they did is they put together this traveling show that went around to various arenas. And it was pretty much like the Disney on Ice, but with the Mortal Kombat characters. So all of the dialogue and everything was pre-recorded. And they did this big law. I mean, it was, you can find it on YouTube, and it is absolutely ridiculous. And the only reason I bring that up is because, okay, when you have a movie called Jiu-Jitsu, okay, you go into it, you know, with the expectation of being some, of there being some spectacular fight sequences. And now, and look, and I'll be, first of all, I'm not a martial arts trained. I just enjoy these movies for what they are.
Sure.
And I could not do the things that these guys do. So I don't want to mitigate the talents or, you know, or the skills of any of these stunt performers. However, I was bored with the fight scenes. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I was, and I love going into these movies. I love going into these martial arts movies. I feel like in a lot of ways, films like The Raid and Night Comes for Us, you know, these Indonesian action movies, John Wick, the fight scenes there are just so brutal and so realistic and so in your face that they've almost kind of spoiled us in some kind of ways. And so that's what we expect nowadays when we see some of these martial arts sequences. However, in Jiu-Jitsu, like I said, I was bored. The fight scenes, to me at least, felt so rehearsed, and they felt so just, you know, lackadaisical, that to me, it felt like I was watching that Mortal Kombat live show. You know what I mean? Where the dialogue is all pre-recorded, and you know, the one guy jumps over the other guy, and that was completely rehearsed because he was waiting his turn. You know what I mean? There wasn't really any kind of stakes to any of the fights here. And so that was probably, I mean, the story, we're going to get to the story, I imagine, but that was my biggest disappointment, was I just thought the fights were just, they were just lame. They were boring.
Yeah. And you know, it's an interesting thing. I was just talking with a friend about this the other day, but, you know, about how a lot of these movies that are now being delivered in the streaming, like 4K, HDR, like, you know, like just the ultimate picture quality. And that almost like leaves less room for boring, like choreographed fight scenes like this, because you can see them just acting it out. And like you said, like waiting their turn for the guy to jump over him. Like, you could see every last moment of that. And it's just so insanely clear that it leaves less room for any kind of suspension of disbelief or anything like that. But I love that piece of Mortal Kombat, the live show. That's hilarious. I'm just going to piggyback right now for my first piece. And I'm going to say Mortal Kombat, the video game, and Mortal Kombat, the movie. I absolutely was thinking of Mortal Kombat as well. well. So I might as well just use that one right away. But, you know, this movie, there is a plot, and it's very loose and very all over the place. I mean, basically, there's this alien being who comes and chooses somebody every 100 years or something like that to fight. I didn't even like do a refresher on the
aliens
plot.
In this movie.
I don't know. It's just like
I don't mean to interrupt you, but why are there aliens?
Does not need to be aliens at all, and it doesn't add anything to it whatsoever. But I believe it's 100 years or something, and they pick a someone on Earth to come just fuck up, for lack of a better word, and then it's like it's on. That's who they're going after. And it's just an excuse to go from fight to fight to fight to fight to fight. And, you know, which is essentially what, like, the whole Mortal Kombat plot is just such a very loose plot. And I do think, if I'm not, I didn't look this up or anything, but if I remember correctly, I think there was something in the Mortal Kombat video game plot line that the tournament happens once every X amount of years, where it's like, that's when everybody has to start fighting again. So I don't know. That might be correct, might not be correct, but I'm going to use it anyway as part of my puzzle piece here. But yeah, so Mortal Kombat in general. So obviously we got you with the live show, but I'm also throwing the video game and the movies in there as well.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned, yeah, Mortal Kombat. I mean, because this should have been a tournament movie.
Yeah.
I'll just say that right now. This should have been a tournament style movie. And if you look at movies like Mortal Kombat, okay, or Bloodsport for that matter, okay, the plot is very, very loose. Okay, you have a tournament, all right. However, even though while that is a loose plot thread, it still works. And for a movie, again, called Jiu-Jitsu, about a real life martial arts fighting style, okay, I was expecting, when I first heard this movie, to be perfectly honest, when I first heard this movie was being made, I thought that it was going to be a tournament style film, especially when I saw the cast that was in it, Frank Grillo, Tony Jaa, Alan Moussey, all these accomplished fighters. That's what I interpreted. And then when I saw the trailer and I saw that there was an alien element to it, I was thinking, what the hell is this? I mean, you know, I mean, because, and that's the other thing too, that I was wondering. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with the martial arts. I mean, but I was watching this and I was thinking, is there really anything about this that is jiu-jitsu? Like, I mean, and I imagine they're using some jiu-jitsu techniques, but they don't really lean into why the film is called jiu-jitsu and why the fighting style of jiu-jitsu is, you know, so powerful and what it was. I mean, to be perfectly honest, this movie could have been called Space Fighters. Or galactic fighters or something like that. And it would have been just fine. I didn't understand. At the end, I was thinking, okay, I watched this martial arts movie with aliens in it and whatnot, but I couldn't tell you why it was called Jiu-Jitsu, you know? And I think if it was a tournament style film where all of the fighters are learning that particular style and who is, in the end, the tournament is to find out, okay, who is the best Jiu-Jitsu master, that would have made sense.
You know, I shout out to my buddies over at the Screen Fix podcast, but I'm about to do what they usually do on their show and fix a movie. I would fix this movie, keep the alien because it's ridiculous and great, but have the alien beam these guys to their planet for a tournament. Like you're saying, you know, only way they're going to get home is to fight a jiu-jitsu tournament on this spaceship or alien planet or whatever it is to get back home. There's your movie.
Yeah. Then you're kind of getting like what was the Predators movie that came out in 2010? I want to say where the Predators brought the best hunters in the world to their planet to duke it out.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, but
there you go, you know. It could work. So. Yeah. Well, let's move on. What do you got for your next piece?
This is a lame one, but kind of going along with the nonsense of the plot. There were elements of this that reminded me of Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you remember the horror movie Jeepers Creepers, but it was established in Jeepers Creepers that the monster, the beast in that movie, if you remember, he came alive every, was it 60 years or something like that? That was the timeline. Yeah, it was like every 60 years he came, and the reason was it was to eat. To feast or whatever. He woke up every 60 years to collect organs and body parts and everything to make himself whole again. And then he would hibernate for 60 years and then would, you know, wake up again. And while that rationale and that plot thread, you could say, is a little loose, you go into it and you buy it and it works. This film, I never picked up on why this alien comes every 6 years. I thought it was 6 years, but maybe I'm wrong. But I never picked up on why this, you know, this martial arts alien thing showed up every 6 years to what? To fight? I didn't get that. He shows up every 6 years.
It just picks somebody to fight.
To kick everyone's ass, and then he goes back for what purpose? You know, at least with, you know, the Predator movies, again, it's loose, but at least with the Predator movies, we know that the Predator comes to Earth to hunt. Okay, because that's like sport for him. On his planet, he comes, he hunts humans, because that's like sport. And then he comes back with a trophy, and I guess that's his vision. That's the alien's vision quest, where he can prove that he's a it's a grown whatever. I mean, it's lame, but it works. They don't give it. Even when Frank Grillo and Tony Jaa are given Alan Moussey's character the necessary exposition, it's just so lame, because I think even they use he comes every 6 years to fight. Why?
Right.
Like, what is this here?
Because that's what we need, apparently. And by the way, I love that the monks and all the people who know about this don't do shit about it. Like, they have like no plan in place until there just happens to be this fighter who's going to fight back.
No, the they are in the film purely to give the exposition, and they do something else, David, that in my opinion, I think is just lame. I think it's lame writing, but they do this thing where, okay, obviously in a film like this, you need that human component. You need that human vessel for the audience to connect with and kind of learn about this world, right? I mean, we see this in movies all the time. You have that human element who is kind of entering this new foreign land, and, you know, we're kind of learning it with the character. And so what they do with this one is they make that human component, the Alan Moussey character, but he has amnesia. And we're never really given a clear indication for why he has amnesia. And they only do this. The only way I could pick up on why they did this was so that the other characters could pretty much fill him in and give the exposition, which was so lame and so lazy. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, totally. That's, I don't know. I gotta imagine, like, we're kind of like talking around this idea that they started with the title Jiu-Jitsu and then just kind of threw shit at the script. Like, whatever they could possibly fit in there to just like flesh out some kind of a movie, but they really didn't have a plan in place, it seems like.
No, they didn't. It was, it feels like one of those things, to be perfectly honest. Again, they had the title Jiu-Jitsu, they had the actors attached, and it almost felt like they were writing the script as they went along. And almost, to be perfectly honest, I felt like they were choreographing the fight scenes as they went along as well.
yeah, absolutely. Well, you did a horror movie there, so I'm going to go with a horror movie that I had on my list as well. And this is a very basic little comparison here, but at the beginning of the movie, there's a girl who basically tells them this ominous message that they're all going to die if they go out into those woods or whatever. And it reminded me of Friday the 13th, where there's the dude who gives the ominous message that you're all doomed, you know? So I thought of the Friday the 13th movies, which I just got done binging last month. And they were a lot of fun.
They are a lot of fun. They are a lot of fun. I mean, and look, the killer Jason, I mean, he has a rationale. He has for doing what he does in those movies. It makes sense, and it's all you really need for all 10, 11, whatever movies they've made. This, I don't understand why this alien comes to Earth through that portal, which everybody seems to know about, but again, they don't
they don't do shit.
They don't. Oh man, it was so frustrating.
So bad. All right, what do you got for your next piece?
Well, if you want to see a film that does combine science fiction with martial arts, and you want to see one that's done right, I would say check out Beyond Skyline. Have you seen that one? It's actually available on Netflix.
I haven't. I know that this movie has a little bit of a cult following, doesn't it?
It does. It's really wild, actually, because back in 2010, This little film, this little alien invasion film came out called Skyline. Not a great film at all. Really no recognizable names really in it to my knowledge or whatever. It was pretty much a very low budget, Independence Day kind of ripoff. And then they did this, the sequel Beyond Skyline, which is, I guess you could say is connected to the original, but I mean, you don't need to see the original, but yeah. Coincidentally, it also stars Frank Grillo and, Iko Uwais is in that one. Another martial artist. And that one I feel like is done right. I mean, a lot of the, aliens and interactions between the humans and the aliens is a little silly, sure. But, man, the fight scenes in that one are really cool. It takes place in outer space on a spaceship. So there you go. I mean, that right there nice. Is a, is a leg better. Up, but it is a really cool, little movie that I think is definitely, deserving of its cult following.
Right on. Yeah. I've always wanted to check that movie out. Cause I've heard that it's a lot of fun for people who are looking for like, just, you know, just like a fun, straightforward action sci-fi alien movie. So I got to check that out one of these days. I'm gonna go with a fairly obvious one, and one that you've kind of been talking about a little bit throughout, and that is Predator. You know, you've been kind of throwing some Predator stuff throughout in between the pieces, I feel like, but I'm just gonna use Predator as a piece itself. Obviously, this alien is so completely inspired by the classic Predator alien. You know, the night vision, the you know, turning invisible, the way it's introduced in its first scene is just like from the original Predator movie. There's just so much about this character that they just said, you know, we want to do all those exact same things, so let's just do those same exact things with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
With Drax, right?
Yeah. It feels like they were writing the script and they started filming and they just said, let's bring in a Predator alien because that's cool. Which coincidentally, I mean, you know, the last Predator movie that came out was a huge bomb and a big disappointment. So it's not like, fans were like, we need a Predator alien here in this film. I thought that as well. And I don't know, I guess you could say they were just paying homage to, an alien that was done better, I guess. And it even has some, in addition to the invisibility, it even, you know, shoots some discs or whatever, similar to the Predator alien did.
Yeah. I'd say it's Predator mixed with Mortal Kombat. I mean, that is what this, this particular alien hybrid is.
Predator mixed with the Mortal Kombat live show, David.
Yes. Specifically. So what do you got for your next piece?
Well, you know, this one, it's interesting because the director has some chops, I will say. The director's name is Dimitri Logothetis. And he did, his previous film that he did was Kickboxer Retaliation, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's actually the sequel to the Kickboxer reboot that came out. And you know, actually that film is very well done. It's a very simple meat and potatoes fighting movie. I mean, that's all it is. It's a very simplistic fighting story. But it's enjoyable. I mean, it really is. It's enjoyable. And what's wild about it is I think I texted you, you should check it out. I tried finding it on YouTube, but I couldn't, but it is on Netflix, actually another movie that's on Netflix. But I encourage you, watch the opening titles sequence to Kickboxer Retaliation, and then watch the opening title sequence to this movie. And Dimitri Logothetis, him and his editor did the exact same thing. I mean, both of these movies start out exactly the same, where what you're getting is you're getting this this kind of action-y score that's thrown in. It's flashing scenes from the movie of the characters in slow motion fighting. And then at the very, very end, you get the title Jiu-Jitsu, or in Kickboxer Retaliation, you got the title Kickboxer Retaliation, and it flies in at the very, very end of the credits, you know, in this big,
nice,
you know, this big signature opening, if you will. And so, yeah, it was kind of wild. I feel like Dimitri Logothetis was like, you know, I really liked this in Kickboxer Retaliation. Well, I'm going to do this in Jiu-Jitsu as well. movies aren't related in any way.
When you know what you like, you just, you know, you like it. You might as well do it again, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. I also like in the opening when you're seeing like the outer space segments and the just those like, oh, just like Nintendo 64 level like spaceships and like rocks, like asteroids and stuff like that. They just look so bad. The outer space sequences are just terrible.
Well, that's funny too, because that's also kind of, I mean, look, I haven't played a video game in years. Like, it's been well over 20 some odd years, but I remember as a kid playing my NES. And if you remember the NES back in the 80s and the 90s, they had a video game of just about everything. And a lot of the games that were out made no sense whatsoever. You had ninjas fight. I mean, I can't name any games particularly, but there were games out there where you had, in one single game, you had ninjas fighting robots and fighting aliens and fighting soldiers. I mean, it making no sense whatsoever. And I, to an extent, that's almost what this felt like to me. It felt like one of those, not just any video game, David, but it felt like one of those nonsensical games from 1989, 1990, you know?
No, absolutely. It's funny. We were just doing an episode over on Awesome Movie Year on Streets of Fire, and I brought that up about how it's like, you just throw in absolutely any and everything into this movie, and it just feels like a video game, because that's how some video games really just create their world. It's like anything could possibly happen in this world.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe perhaps, I mean, you know, I hate to keep dogging on this film, but maybe perhaps, a story like this might have been better serviced if it was a television series. Or at the very least, a series of games or something like that, then maybe they could have spent more time fleshing out the characters and the story. And for God's sakes, the style of jujitsu, like, let me know why this is the supreme fighting style.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll go into another piece here. I'm going to go with Hardcore Henry, the POV first person movie, action movie. And there's a bunch of sequences in this that try to do that. I don't think that I only saw that movie once back when it first came out, and I don't remember it being particularly that great. The sequences aren't done that great here either. I don't know if that kind of POV action really works as an idea. I think it's just something to try, but strapping a GoPro to someone's head and then having them run and kick ass is, I guess, it's kind of disorienting, and it especially doesn't work when it's in the midst of, like we've been saying, just kind of just a long, uninspired action sequence.
You know, it's a gimmick. I mean, that's all it was. That movie was just a great big gimmick, but yeah, no, that makes total sense. I haven't seen that one since it came out, and I remember at the end just feeling maybe not so much confused, but I had a headache afterwards, with what I had just watched.
I thought you were going to say you barfed.
Yeah. I heard some people actually had that same reaction as well. So...
So what do you got next? I only got one more piece after that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I got finished watching this, it made me really want to go back and watch The Quest with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Again, another Van Damme piece. I don't know if you're too familiar with The Quest or not, but that was the film that he, actually it was the film that he directed. He helped co-write it, and he directed and starred in it as well. And it's pretty much, it's another variation on the tournament film. He had done Bloodsport, so he decided to kind of go back to that well and do another Bloodsport. Right. But what's really cool about that one is, look, that movie is, it's pretty much just fight scene after fight scene after fight scene. But again, why I think it works is because it is a tournament, and each fighter in the movie has a signature fighting style. Okay. And that's what's so cool about it. You have, I mean, and on one hand you can look at it and the film is kind of stereotypical and because, okay, the fighter from China happens to be a big sumo wrestler, and the fighter from Scotland is just so happening to wear a kilt or whatever. And then the fighter from Spain is like a bullfighter. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's a better version of Street Fighter than the Street Fighter movie that Van Damme did. But in the end, like I said, each fighter has their own fighting style, and the movie is kind of proving, okay, what is the supreme fighting style of everybody here. And it's goofy, it's a dopey movie, but in the end it is fun, and with better choreographed fight sequences, I have to say than this one.
That actually does sound like a lot of fun. I feel like I might have saw it back when it first came out back in 96, but I don't really recall, but it sounds like it would be a lot of fun, especially as a fan of, like, you know, all fighting games in general, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, all of them. You know, it sounds like it would be like kind of the best movie version of that.
It is. Like I said, it is a better adaptation of the Street Fighter video game than the Street Fighter movie, coincidentally also starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, I feel. So.
Right. Very strange. Well, I will go with my last piece then. And normally when we talk about puzzle pieces on this show, you know, it's more of inspired by, or, you know, reminded me of certain aspects of other movies. But for my last piece, I am going to go with, just in general, asylum films, which are normally not inspired by other movies, but are just straight up ripping off whatever the big thing is of the moment. And this just feels so much like a lot of the things we talked about during this conversation. It's just ripping off Predator into a movie that is ripping off, you know, a lot of these great martial arts movies and stuff like that. And it just feels like it's, you know, people love those movies. Let's just make one. They're cheap to make. Let's just, you know, throw it out there, put a few stars in it for like 10 minutes each. And that's good enough. We could slap them on the poster and on the front of the artwork, even though Nicolas Cage, like we said, is like in this movie for like 10 minutes. Tony Jaa, I'm not even sure how long he was in this movie. Not very long either, I don't think. But it's just like making just a very basic ripoff of the general premise of some of these much, much better ideas, which is just what Asylum has kind of built an empire on. So that's the last piece.
Yeah, they have. I mean, if this did not have the cast that it did, this would have been an Asylum movie. I mean, it would have either been an Asylum movie, or it would have premiered on the Sci-Fi Network. I mean, without a doubt. I think the fact that this miraculously got the cast that it did is what puts it a level above those other ones. But in the end, the story is nothing different than premiere on the Sci-Fi Network.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, you know, just randomly, something that I just realized we haven't even mentioned at all yet is the comic book paneling before some scenes.
Yes.
Such a just strange choice, and especially the fact that it didn't even look like they got someone to draw those panels. It's just like a like an Instagram filter that makes it look cartoonish almost. Like, you know, it's not even like a real full-on cartoon. I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, that offended me, to be perfectly honest, because I mean, first of all, I mean, it kind of reminded me of Ang Lee's The Hulk. If you remember the 2003 Ang Lee movie, Hulk adaptation, the first Hulk movie that we got. It's weird because with that one, you know, Ang Lee was doing the same thing. He was transitioning scenes by kind of doing comic book panels, like he was purposely trying to remind the viewer, hey, our film is based on a comic book, which it's kind of like, look, anybody in the world who is going into a Hulk movie, okay, knows that that character is based on a comic book property. So we do not need the reminder of it, you know what I mean, blasting us in the face. So with this particular film, while it was not based on a comic book, it was just odd because it's like they were, well, this is like something that would appear in a comic book, so we are going to transition our scenes like we would a comic book panel. And it was kind of like, no. Like, in my opinion, like, no. I said, I felt a little insulted. I was like, oh, I don't need this. You know, you go into a movie called, I mean, let's face it, David, you go into a movie called Jiu-Jitsu with martial artists and aliens. I know going into, if they had told me there is a comic book based on this or whatever, I would have said, okay, Cool. Yeah. I'm not going to go out and read it, though. Why do I need that visual reminder between scenes? And like you said, it's one thing if the art was cool. If the art was good, then, okay, I might give it a few, you know, a few notches above that. But like you said, it looked like it was some kind of, what'd you say, like a Snapchat filter?
Like a filter. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked exactly. like a filter. That it was just like, well, they're not even trying here, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's, I don't know, I guess it adds a layer to like tie it into again the things that they're trying to so hard to kind of emulate and rip off. I mean, they're just really trying to tie into what's hot in a way.
Yeah, and I'm if this is what's hot, then maybe I need to find a new genre to be passionate about here. But yeah, no, it was I was disappointed. I'll be honest with you. And I know a lot of people loved the movie, and I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, considering the nature of my podcast and the nature of the films that I like to discuss, that I'd be a little more praising of it. But I was not, which is really unfortunate, because I had high hopes for it. I mean, I was pretty psyched right. when I first heard about it in production and everything. I was really looking forward to it. And then when I saw that it was going to be in theaters one night, and I couldn't go that one night to see it, I'll admit I was a little bummed.
Right.
Maybe there's a reason why it was only one night. I think everything worked out in my favor. In the end, David, I think if we go down in history to where when people say, hey, what was the last movie you saw in theaters? And I tell them, oh, last movie I saw in theaters was Let Him Go. There's nothing wrong with that. I am perfectly happy saying that. That's more respectable than if I had to say, the last movie I saw was Jujutsu Man, and that was a suck.
Oh, would that be a bummer? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do the finished puzzle then for Jujutsu, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts here. Finished puzzle includes Mortal Kombat, the live show, as well as Mortal Kombat, the movie, the game, everything Mortal Kombat, Jeepers Creepers, Friday the 13th movies, Beyond Skyline, Predator, Kickboxer Retaliation, Hardcore Henry, The Quest, Ang Lee's The Hulk, and then Asylum films just in general. So that is our list. Do you have any other like thoughts that we didn't quite get into when we were going through all the puzzle pieces?
I mean, this is very desperately trying to be a video game, trying to be a comic book. What's interesting, though, is it has none of that. It has none of those foundations, if you will, where it's pulling from. You know, it's really wild because it's like it's trying to create its own world or its own franchise, but it doesn't have any of that source material that it's pulling from, which is really unfortunate. If this had been made 15, 20 years ago, I think we definitely would have gotten a video game based on it. Excuse me, maybe more like 30 years ago, maybe we would have gotten, because they were doing video games based on everything back then. But as of now, it just came and it was a little dated. And I think there are some schools of thought that would say, you know, well, this film wasn't trying to be anything. It wasn't. It was just fun. It was just a fun escapist, which I can see that and I can sympathize with that. However, in the end, I was just kind of bored. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
If anything, if you go into this film hoping for some good fight scenes, it's gonna be lacking even in that department, sadly.
Yeah, I was gonna say that to me, and I'm obviously not as much of an action movie connoisseur as you are, but to me, the fight scenes weren't good. They were just long. Like, it's like quantity over quality, you know? That's what I got from it anyway. I'm not sure what other like major, you know, fight movie fans would say about that, but to me, it was just like, yeah, quantity over quality, really.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. I think if you want a goofy fighting style movie, then check out, like I said, The Quest, Kickboxer Retaliation, or if you want some for some really impressive fight sequences and you have a Netflix account, then I think check out The Night Comes for Us. That one still to this day could be one of the most brutal fight films ever.
Fantastic. Well, I think that about does it, man. This has been a wild one talking about this freaking movie. But aside from those movies that you just recommended, I always like to ask my guests to recommend another movie they saw recently. Is there anything else you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Well, I kind of already mentioned it, but I don't know if theaters are ever going to open up again. It's going to be wild if we're in a world that doesn't have movie theaters. The last one that I saw was Let Him Go, which was an amazing movie. It's actually it's one of those high profile on demand releases that's out. They put it out there. It's a real slow burn of a film. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's a real, real slow burn of a film. But man, when it gets to the end, there are two scenes in particular that are just a total wallop that, I mean, it's slow moving, but when it gets to those, you are on the edge of your seat. And so that was well worth the $10 price, the $10 ticket fee that I guess I paid. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, great movie. I saw it the other day on VOD. Definitely worth checking out. But right on, man. Why don't you tell people about your podcast and what you've been up to over there?
I must break this podcast, the Dolph Lundgren fan podcast, where we go in chronological order, reviewing, analyzing, and discussing the films of the great thespian that is Mr. Dolph Lundgren. And in between the movie review episodes, we always have an interview episode. So I've been very fortunate. I've gotten to speak with some really cool guests who've directed many of Dolph's films or who have written many of Dolph's films. And so, even if you're not a fan of Mr. Lundgren, I'd like to think that anybody who is interested in low budget independent action cinema would enjoy many of these conversations. So, and I can only imagine you, David. I don't think you ever anticipated when you started up your podcast that you would have the host of the Dolph Lundgren fan podcast coming on multiple times. So I do appreciate it.
Or that I would be a guest on the Dolph Lundgren fan podcast multiple times. So,
just before we recorded, we discussed the next episode that you've agreed to, where we're going to be talking about Dolph's TV work, the television shows that he has guest starred on. So that'll be a fun episode.
I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I am glad to have finally gotten you back here on the show. And man, thanks again for doing it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a good one.
This is JC.
And the Lady One.
From Screen Fix Podcast.
Come listen to our show, where we provide gentle edits.
And sometimes change the whole movie.
To fix a movie we're watching.
Have you ever walked out of a movie and said to your friend, "That was pretty good, but you know what they should have done?" That's this show.
Listen along and share your fixes with us. Find Screen Fix anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Oh, and follow us on Twitter.
And Instagram.
@ Screen Fix Pod.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Sean Malloy about jiu-jitsu. Go check out his podcast, I Must Break This Podcast. I am getting ready to watch a few of those Dolph Lundgren TV appearances so I could join him on an upcoming episode. That should be a lot of fun. And I also gave a shout-out to Screen Fix Pod. Go make sure to check those guys out as well. Always a fun show to listen to. And as always, I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast. If you're out there and you're enjoying the show, we would love it if you'd rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. And of course, make sure you're subscribed wherever it is you listen to podcasts. We have a lot of podcasts coming your way over the next few weeks. So many episodes coming. It's actually really difficult to get them all scheduled between, this is supposed to be a Friday show, but we've got Monday and Friday every week in December, and maybe even we'll squeeze in a third one here and there just because there's so many movies to cover. And, I don't want to push it till next month, then there'll be more movies to cover. So I don't know. We'll figure out where to put them if you keep listening. So thank you so much for being out there. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media @ Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, and to check out our Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where we've got bonus content from this podcast, awesome movie year, my music, whole bunch of stuff. And speaking of my music, let's close this episode out with a piece of music like we always do. I am going to go with a track called The Master. Speaking of jujitsu and all this fighting and all this stuff, I'm going to go with The Master. This is from a free bonus album I put out exclusively on my Bandcamp called Another Sky. And I always love this track. I'm eventually going to take all these bonus tracks and combine them into some kind of release that will be more official and available on, you know, the iTunes and the Spotify and Apple Music and all that, so that way you can listen to it along with the rest of my albums. But I've always loved this track, so enjoy it. It's called The Master, and thanks as always for listening.
Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.